Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, amen. Well, well, well. You know, freedom is not free. And as Pastor was talking, sometimes what worries me is we're so far removed sometimes from what it cost us to be free. I wonder this morning, I don't know where he's at. I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what he's doing. But I guarantee you, Pastor Brunson could wax verbosely about the nuances of freedom. You know, as you separate yourself from the cost of something, the value of it diminishes. I was reading, studying for actually a thing I'm doing for my business, and I always heard this, you know, in the talks of people that talk in my world and what I do. But you know, you've heard the cliche, you know, daddy will earn it, but the son will lose it. And what they're talking about is the guy that fights and claws his way in and back from something and has something, when it passes on, a lot of times the second and third generation don't appreciate it as much. And but do you know, Pew did a study, and they said 7 out of 10 wealthy families, listen to this, 7 out of 10 wealthy families lose their family's wealth by the second generation. By the second generation, a wealthy family loses its wealth. Now, that's stunning, but what's even worse is 9 out of 10 wealthy families lose it all by the third generation. You see, as the cost of something gets separated from something, the value diminishes. And if I don't value something, I won't fight for it. Freedom's messy. Freedom is a mess. I don't know if you have the privilege of being married to someone like my wife, but I love my wife. But one of the things I love mostly about my wife is how detail-oriented she is. I joke all the time. I say, you know, my socks are alphabetized, colorized, inventoried, and set by SKU number in the drawer. I'm not that way. Some would say that would have been a cause of friction early on, but I've learned. Just adopt to the system and everything will go fine. You know, I heard a pastor in a counseling session one time said to the guy, he says, you can be right or you can be happy, but you got to decide what you want to be. I said, I want to be happily married. But, you know, value is connected directly to the cost of something. The more something costs you, the more you value it. When the cost of something becomes less and less understood, appreciated, and recognized, the perceived value that it holds within an individual starts to wane. 1 Peter is where we're going to hang out today. And in 1 Peter 1:18, he says this, knowing that you were ransomed. Some translation says redeemed. Knowing that you were ransomed, you were redeemed, you were purchased. From what? The futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Freedom is messy. Look beside you. Self and tell the person inside you, yeah, I might be a mess, but I'm a holy mess. You know, it took a mess to clean up your mess. Jesus spilt his blood for you and I. It was messy. It was not clean. It was not attractive. It was not something that you would put on Snapchat or Instagram and say, hey, look at this. It was ugly. So many times we talk ourselves out of going to that next level of freedom, that deeper level in God, that deeper level in our personal or our professional lives, because we're scared of the mess. It's messy. Say it's messy. It is going to, but listen, it is, amen, I like that. But if you're a neat Nick, if messes are sometimes a thing that you wane away from, sometimes the enemy will use that to keep you from trying to progress where God is calling you. Because there's something inside even all of us that we'll try to turn perfect into the enemy of good. It don't look good. It don't look right. It ain't perfect. I ain't going to try it. Let me tell you something. The first time you do anything, you're going to make a mess. The first time you try anything, it's going to be messy. The first time you believe God for more than where you currently are, trust me, it's going to get messy. But see, there's something about you and I that God created us that we feel this pull inside of us. Everyone in here was created for greatness. Why? Because you were created by greatness, for the purposes of greatness. You might talk yourself into mediocrity for a while, but you won't be happy. You might talk yourself into settling to where I'm at right now just so we don't ruffle the feathers, but I promise you, at some point, the Spirit of God is going to make you wholly discontent. But Brother Terry, doesn't Paul say to be content in all things? Well, yes, but he didn't say to be complacent in everything. See, there's a difference between contentment and complacency. I am to be content, but I'm never to be complacent because I know God's got more for me. Say, there's more. There is more for you. There's more for you to experience than what you're currently experiencing. Why? Because God said so. He says, I'll take you from glory to glory to glory. But guess what? I've been stuck in two, have you? Glory two. Well, I see where I'm supposed to be. It ain't where I used to be, but I'll just hang where I'm at. Expectations are some of the most powerful things that you and I will engage in. An expectation will define you, it will refine you, and it will confine you. Expectations, what we expect of ourselves, what we expect of God, what we expect in life will either keep us moving forward or keep us complacent in staying where we're at. Expectations are so powerful, and we can put our expectations in God. The longing to be free is in all of us. The song that everybody knows me knows I grew up, I'm a horn player, so I grew up loving the band Chicago. And one of my favorite tunes is because it's got this very tricky triplet pattern, horn pattern in it that most people don't even know. Even Chicago fans in Chicago 3, there's a song that says, and it's called I Want to Be Free. And it was written by the guitar player Terry Kath. And the lyrics go like this. I just want to be free. I just want to be free. I just want to be free from all the hurt. I want to be free from all the pain. I want to end this lonely hour. I want to end this lonely day. Oh, please, I plead. I just want to be free. The writer at song, unfortunately, died years later from a gunshot wound to the head. See, it's in all of us, and innate. We want to be free. Nobody wants to be captive. Nobody wants to be entrapped. But there's something that the enemy does to all of us if we're not careful. How many know the enemy is real big on giving you and I excuses of why we can't do more than what we're doing? Be more than what we're being, go further than where we're at. How many know that? I love what I heard one coach said to me years ago. He says, Terry, because I was giving him all kinds of excuses why I wasn't doing what I should have been doing. He says, Terry, you can have excuses or you can have results, but you can't have both. How many times have I bought into the enemy trying to tell me what I can and can't do, where I can and can't be, how far I can go, what I can experience? How many know God has got more for you? God's got more for me. There is more freedom to experience than what I'm currently experiencing. But if I just fall into this apathetical way of thinking, how many know apathy is the antithesis to a spirit-filled life? You can't be apathetic and be led by the Holy Spirit at the same time. How many know that? But what is, life beats us up, doesn't it, sometimes? Life gets us discouraged. Life tells us, oh, I've tried and I failed, I've loved and I've lost, and it just didn't work out. It reminds me of that story where this guy goes to heaven and he's asking God some questions, and he says, I've always wondered, God, how much, in your way of thinking, how long is just a second? And God said, oh, a second in my world, a million years. Well, in your way of thinking, how much is $1 million? He goes, oh, my world, $1 million ain't but, you know, 1 cent. And God, And he worked up his courage and he says, hey, God, what about spotting a brother $1 million? He says, sure, just give me a second. You know, God is working on our behalf right now. I'm convinced if we could see what God's doing behind the scenes right now, we would never worry again. We would never fret again. We would never wonder, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. Because guess what? He is setting us up to succeed. He is bringing people in your life that you're supposed to have. He is repelling people out of your life that's not supposed to be there. He is opening up doors that's supposed to be opening. He is closing down. You know why I know that? Because he says he would. Do we believe him? I'm telling you, I can't wait to one day know as I am known. Let's get into the scripture. It says this in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as a father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that lamb without blemish or spot. Verse 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who brought him our believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Notice in verse 13 there, it says, preparing your mind for action. You know, you've probably been conditioned through being raised in church like me, a lot of you, some of you not, but one of the things that is unfortunate about hearing things repetitively is they lose their impact sometimes. And the Bible says, and you've heard it, it's common, do not be hearers of the words, but that is so easily said. But I'm going to tell you what, working in the world I work in, coaching and consulting people to take what they're wanting to do and turning it into a business and getting them in an action plan, the hardest thing to do is the first step. And let me tell you what the first step is. Getting out of their head and putting feet to the and putting action to the plan. Footwork. It is the most difficult thing in the world to get out of my head and turn this thought into action. Converting a thought into action is the most difficult phase of growth. Let me ask you something. Has someone ever come to you and asked you questions and, I need this and I need this and they're struggling with that and you help them and you answer it and then they go back and do nothing that you told them to do? Has anyone ever come to you and says, you know, the kids just won't act right, and then you say, well, what do you, well, can you help me out? What should I do? And then you maybe give them some things you see and they go back and they do absolutely 100% zero. They ask, and the questions go into like this big hole. There ought to be a word if I could conflate those two together, but I'm not. You see, it's hard. It's hard to get out of our heads sometimes. It's not easy. When he says, be not just hearers of the words, but doers as well, he's not just saying that to rattle off and put you under some sort of onus. He knows it's difficult. How many times have we come to church and we listened and we've listened to great teaching and this and that, and then we go out and do nothing we were taught? I'm convinced if we would just act on 10% of what God gives us, we'd change the world. But it's difficult to do, isn't it? One time I had a guy that just became belligerent with me and started blaming me for his results, you know, because all you do is you give them a roadmap, you give them the tools, you give them the training, and you turn them loose. And this guy, and as much as you say, you know, I don't sell genies in a bottles. I'm not selling anything but just a strategy. And you tell him that, and he got belligerent and got ugly and called me everything but my God-given Christian name. And I'm just like, Lord, how do I fix this? Because my heart is I want to help people. I really do. I don't just say I do. But this guy, he's not hearing my heart. All he sees is I'm frustrated. I'm not getting results. And God said, you have to do what I do, Terry. And I was like, well, what do? He says, notice in Scripture I say, taste and see that the Lord is good. I said, well, you're going to have to break that down for a brother. I don't know why. Okay, taste and see. What am I supposed to go? Okay, taste and see that TW3 is good. What am I supposed to do here? What does that mean? He says, do you know what I'm doing with people when I say that? I said, no. He says, for you to taste something means you have to devour it. You have to chew on it. You have to, and then I say, and see, which means then you have to show, it has to be seen that I have devoured, I have consumed this, and I'm accountable that you can see that I've done it. And then I can say the Lord is good. I says, well, that's great, Lord, but you're going to break this down even further. What are you saying? He says, tell them you'll offer them a 90-day guarantee this works. I was like, you got to be out your mind. I can't do that. As soon as I do that, everybody going to buy a package from me and say, well, I tried, but you know, didn't work for me. You want the money back. What's wrong with you? He said, no. They have to taste and see. I said, well, how do you do that? He said, you put down your plan is already in writing. All you have to do is tell them, if you'll verify and validate, you've done step 1, 2, 3. You've done these steps. Then will they or will they not? I said, well, yeah. He says, well, put it in action. I did that. You know what happened? My business exploded. And that's been going on for a year and a half, and I've never had to pay out on that one time. And now I've got happier clients. Why? Because I kept them accountable. I kept them accountable. And the Bible is saying, taste and see. Eat this. And then let it be verified. Let it be seen. Taste. Have you tasted it? Have you tasted him? Have you tasted his ways? Have you devoured? Have you chewed on it? Have you put it into practice? Have you turned the words into action? Because if you do it, taste and see. The Lord is good. He's not a man that he should repent. His ways are yes and amen. He's never had to pay out on a claim. He's good. And his ways work, don't they? And he says here in verse 13, he goes on and says, and be sober-minded. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. The word sober there is the Strong's 3525. You know, so many times we see words like that and we just attribute it to one thing or the other. But I want to rescue your mind for just a second on that word and get it out of thinking about any type of drug or alcohol or anything, because I'm convinced that we can be intoxicated on multiple things of life. Because what is being intoxicated? It's being under the influence of something else. And I tell you, we have a society right now that is intoxicated, that is not sober-minded. All they're doing is consuming hate, anger, frustration, and blame shifting. It's everybody else's fault. Nobody else wants to take responsibility for my own personal growth and action. That's where we live, folks. And the Bible's saying to be sober-minded, because it's going to be messy. Freedom is messy. But I'm going to tell you what, when we're sober-minded, he's literally saying this, to look at things for the way they are. There's a thing that psychologists call confirmation bias, and you've probably heard of it maybe. Confirmation bias is this: when I have a preconceived thought, idea, or prejudice towards something, and then I'm just going around looking for things to validate my preconceived idea. When we do that, we're intoxicated. We are not being sober-minded. We are not seeing things for the way they are. We are seeing things through a prism that says, oh, I'm right. See? See what he said? See what she said? I knew I was right the whole time. See, that's how the enemy just twists and turns. And we're living in a society that is just twisting and turning. I've never seen people just so up and on. You can't even go to the store anymore and smile at people with them and go, what's wrong with you? I'm happy. What do you want, Jesus? Am I lying? This world gone crazy. And the people in it. But good news is, we're not of this world. We're in it. We ain't of it. Taste and see. Oh, it's going to be messy. You know, he could have come down from heaven and wrote a check. Let me just get these boys out of hock. Let me just go ahead. But instead, he came down and suffered a horrific death. A messy, messy death. You want freedom in your finances. You want freedom in your marriage. You want freedom with your children. It's going to be messy. But there's grace for it. There is grace for it, and it's worth it. It ain't easy, but it's worth it. I'm telling you what, your household, your world, it's worth fighting for. Because what's the alternative? Let it go to hell in a handbasket? Accept the status quo? Let the enemy take over? What's the alternative? Fight or flight? It's going to be messy. But don't worry about it. God has got this thing. He has got this thing, and I'm going to tell you what, he will set you up. Ooh, he is your source. He is your source. I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm going to. Russell can validate this story and tell you I'm telling the truth. But the first thing I ever sold when I got into sales, and at Haynes Music, first day at the store behind the counter. He's already laughing. The first thing I ever sold. Now, this is a guy that goes out and teaches people how to sell. Okay, so what I'm about to tell you, this is my origin. This is how I started. The first thing I sold in the music business, it was highly contentious. The person that hired me was the owners and Russell, and the people that didn't want me was the sales managers and the other people. They had their guy. So I came in a little bit with a cloud over my head. They were just looking for a reason why, you know. So the guy comes in the store, and I'm nervous. I mean, I'm just a 21-year-old know-nothing kid, right? And had my dream job working in a music store. And the guy comes in, and he says, I need a tuner for my acoustic guitar. I said, okay, great. I reached down and I see all these tuners and all this other stuff. And I reached down there to what I thought was a tuner, okay? It looked like a tuner to me. Reached down, I put it up, and the next thing I hear is uncontrollable laughter from everyone. I had just put up a Snoopy harp on the counter. I don't know if you know what a Snoopy harp is. Those things put them. And for the rest of the day, everybody's going, "How are you supposed to tune a guitar? Ding, 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 ding. Is that E or A? Ding, ding." You can clean anything up. You just use. You literally can clean anything up. Here. To which we joke about today on Facebook just last week. And I would still say, no, I probably don't. But God's my source. Three months ago, a guy from Chicago sent me this warm, heartfelt email, about 4 or 5 paragraphs, a whole page, about how he's been listening to my business podcast, became a client years ago, and he noticed I had another website that had my ministry stuff on it, and the teachings I do here and in Sunday school and other places at times, I'll put up there. And so I was teaching, I think it was on Are You in the Press? Remember that message I gave? And so I put it up on my podcast, on my website, and he listens to it, and he sends this warm, heartfelt how God has used this thing and all these breakthroughs that are happening in his life, and he gives me an itemized list of all the things that he heard me say. There's only one problem with that whole thing. Everything he attributed to me of saying and meaning, I didn't. I said nothing that he said I said. What I did say, I didn't mean it the way he took it, but God used it in his spirit to set that man free. And I told the Lord when I read that, I was like, I believe this one belongs to you, because ain't a thing on here I did. God taught me a valuable lesson that day. He said, boy, it ain't about you. It ain't got nothing to do about you. Do you really want to know what it means to be used of the Lord? I am a sock puppet. All I am is a living, breathing chatterbox that he animates. And then he is the Spirit of God. He is the teacher. He opens up the ears. He reveals his truth. He is the one that sets them free. He is the one that inspires them. He is the one that motivates them. He is the one that takes it to the next level. Terry is just there flapping his gums. Let me tell you something. The enemy's talked you out of doing something he's called you to do. Don't let him. Because if this old boy, Joyce Wilson's son from Ruth, North Carolina, can be anything, I know there ain't a person here that can't. If you'd just be willing to be foolish, if you'd just be willing to make a little bit of a mess, if you'd just be willing to be laughed at and try to sell a Snoopy heart as an acoustic tuner. I love what one guy says. He says, people that are successful are the ones who've learned to go from one failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm. People who are successful are the ones who can go from one failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm. Hey, I'm probably going to screw this one up, but come on. But what I've learned is if I just go with the flow, just let God be God, not get all worked up about it, it is amazing what he does. It is absolutely astonishing out of this world. He says, do not conform. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance. It's popular to be crazy. You don't have to fight against any trend to just put your hair on fire and say the world's coming to an end. You will be validated on social media if you just go nuts. I know I've seen some of you do it. But God in heaven says, if you'll go my way, oh, it's lean. It's messy. It ain't popular. It ain't popular. But if you'll do it my way, I'll take an old boy that can't barely string two words together, complete a thought, and I'll make him speak to millions. I'll take an old boy that went 6 weeks in college and dropped out, and then have him teach people that already have masters in business how to conduct business. If you'll do it my way, I promise you, you will taste and see. Oh, it's messy. It is messy. I'm telling you what, the path that I have gone down, some of them are a mess, I got to be honest, was mine. But some of it was the blood and the sweat and the tears and being called all kinds of names and going against family at times and going against friends because God was saying this, but the gravitational pull of everybody in my social network was pulling me this way. And I said, but God, he says, you going to do it my way or everybody else's way? He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Reminds me of a story where a man showed up at church one time and he was sort of dressed real disheveled and didn't have his Sunday best on, as we would say in the South. It really perturbed the pastor. The pastor took it as a statement of dishonoring and not taking serious the house of God. So he goes up to the guy after church. He says, brother, thank you for coming to church today. Well, thank you for having me. He goes, I need to ask you a question. Yeah. Now listen. He says, if you decide to come back to my church, I want you to pray and ask God how you should dress and present yourself. Okay? Okay, yes, sir. Well, next week he comes in. Same attire, same look, looks disheveled, and boy, the preacher wasn't happy. And afterwards, he came down off the pulpit and was shaking everybody's hand on the way out the door, and he says, did I not tell you to pray and ask God how you should dress and present yourself if you decided to come back? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I did. I prayed. And he says, well, what did you pray? I says, Lord, I'm wanting to go over to so-and-so's church. How should I dress? And he says, well, what did he say? He says, I don't know. I've never been there. Don't conform to the former ignorance of this world and the people in it and around it. If you're going to follow God, you're going to run and get a little messy at times. It ain't going to be pretty, but it's worth it. It's worth it. But as he who called us, who has called us is holy, you also be holy. In all your conducts, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Probably one of the most misunderstood passages in the New Testament, referring back to the Old Testament, not the, but it's definitely up there is one. And I can sum it up this way. I am because he is. I am because he is. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Ain't got a thing to do with me. He says, you be holy as I am holy. I am because he is. I ain't because of what I do, how I do, when I do, where I do, who I do with. I ain't got nothing to do with none of that. I am because he is. I am holy because he is holy. I am holy because he called me holy. Does that make sense? It ain't because of me. I stand in that. I live and breathe in that. I function in that. So many times the religious mindset has tried to conform people and to try to mold people And here's the whole reason. It all comes down to this. It's hard to control free people. It is just hard to control free people. And freedom is messy. It's not chaotic. It's not chaotic. There was an appointed time for Jesus to go to the cross. There was an appointed thing that he was to accomplish. There was an appointed way it was to happen. It fulfilled prophetic utterances. Wasn't chaotic, but boy, it was messy. And so many times the religious mindset will try to push away from those things that are messy because why? It's messy. And so how do they control it? Well, they just start trying to put their things on it and what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to be. And so they get this wrong mindset that says, you need to be holy now. And they start ascribing to what that's supposed to look like and how that's supposed to look and feel. And all of a sudden, they're trying to do what? They're trying to control. But I am because he is. Amen? Let's go on. We got just a time. Rest. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. While you are on this earth, you are an exile, a sojourner, an alien in a foreign land. Take comfort that your Father is just, God who sees where you are and will make right the crooked places. He will execute justice on your behalf. You know what? We live in an unjust world, that unjust things happen to good people. But let me tell you something I've learned and I had to learn it the hard way. If we believers will simply close this and let our enemies do whatever they're going to do, something amazing happens. When I stop speaking on my behalf and I create a vacuum of something that needs to be said while a believer is being persecuted for injustice, when I create a vacuum, there's someone that comes down from heaven and fills it. There's someone else that comes and speaks up. There is an advocate I have that's better than any court-appointed attorney I could ever hire for myself. I learned in business. It took me around a mountain twice to learn this. But if I keep my mouth shut, God will take the things that my enemies do and turn them for my good. I had a guy that just said all kinds of nasty stuff that were just empirically not true. Could be just, I mean, it's not a he said, she said. He said this. Here's the evidence that contradicts that. And I was about to just go full force. Ah! And God said, keep your mouth shut. Felt like Ron White for a minute. I had the right to remain silent. I just didn't have the ability. But that time I learned, and he was getting all kinds of traction. He was grabbing all kinds of attention. He was getting a bigger audience talking about my brand than I was. And that frustrated me. After all, this is my livelihood. Keep your mouth shut. Long or the short, this man was proven by other situations that had nothing to do with me to be a very bad guy, a liar. And all of that attention he gathered, God used as, and I'm going to use an inside word here, search engine optimization. He turned it into an advertisement for me. To get the kind of advertisement this guy created for me, I would have had to spend thousands of dollars. God took my enemy, created this entire audience, made a fool out of him, and turned it to where, here's the guy you need to talk to. To this day, I'm selling off of the advertisement he did for me. God will take the very thing that the enemy is trying to destroy you with and turn it for your good. But what do you have to do? Keep your mouth shut. You got to know, verse 18, we got to speed up. Y'all not listening fast enough. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not that perishable things such as silver and gold. What does it mean to know? The Greek word there in that context literally means to be skilled in. To be skilled in the fact of your redemption. To be skilled in, to not only just intellectually understand it, not to just, oh yeah, I'm cognitive of the fact. Yeah, I've been redeemed. But to be skilled in it. Getting it from here. To action, to fleshing it out. There's a boldness when you can do that. Knowing that it's paid, but with the precious, everybody say precious. 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 That word, precious blood of Christ, that word precious is the absolute highest value that can be given or attributed to a thing in the Greek language. That's how much God thinks of you. He didn't come down and just write a check like Daddy Warbucks. He gave something way more valuable. The precious blood. He says, what pays for freedom will cost? What pays for freedom will be outside your ability to pay. And what pays for your freedom requires rights being laid down by you. Notice Jesus wasn't supposed to go to the cross. They killed an innocent man. That he willingly laid down his life. And it's available. Verse 20, he says, he was forsaken before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for whose sake? My sake. My sake. Verse 20, my sake. You may have never been before, never seen a way before to freedom. And whatever it is, in whatever area of life, God's calling you to a deeper level of freedom. You might not ever have been able to see how that's possible, but God's saying it's available to you today. The Spirit of God is saying that in his scripture. It is available. Before the foundations of the world, he set this thing in place. He's just asking, will you walk in it? You may have never thought it would be possible to experience more. But it's here today for you specifically. I wrote a song, Charlie. You want to hear it? The only thing is, you got to convince Bobby Caldwell I wrote it and he didn't. It goes a little something like, some people go around the world for love. They may never find what they dream of. He came back to let you know. He got a thing for you and he won't let go. What he won't do for love. When you've tried everything, he don't give up. Cause in his world, only you make him do for love what he would not do. He came for you. This is for you. This isn't theory. This isn't Christian philosophy. This ain't call, you know, take two Osteens and call me in the morning. You know what I'm saying? This is, if you won't just hear it, but do it, I'll meet you there. So as the prayer team gets ready, I'm just going to ask you right now, is there any area in your life right now that you're not experiencing the freedom God has, you know God has afforded you? Because what he won't do, he'll do for love. When you've tried everything, he don't give up. In his world, only you will make him do for love what he would not normally do. Is there an area of freedom you want? It takes action. It takes action. It don't take hearing. It don't take meditating on. It takes action. It says, Terry, I want more than what I'm currently experiencing. Terry, I know that there's more. Yes, Terry, I'm saved, but I'm not walking out fully, 100%, all that this great, wonderful work of grace called salvation affords me. If that's you, It's available. There's no arm twisting. There's no manipulation. There's no trying to compel you to do something. But you will not go away from here blaming God, saying, I didn't have an opportunity to fix this. I would like to be here, but I'm here. Because God will remind you of this moment. It's here for you. He's here for you. His grace is wonderful. Mercy is everlasting. His goodness is for generations. I'm telling you what, he's the best thing going. I got a whole inventory of things I offer and sell, but I guarantee that nothing comes paired to what he can give, what he can do, if you want it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on up, Pastor John.
Good word, brother. Good word. Amen. Yeah. The mess. Bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you like for someone to pray with you, you can come up and be prayed for. If you're seeking freedom, if there's something that's going on in your life that you would like for our prayer team to pray with you for, you can come at this time, okay? You know, sometimes, you know, we do go through struggles. We do go through messes. But how many know God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above we asked or think, according to the power that worketh in us? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. And we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to see you this morning. Amen. That's my sister-in-law. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As they're praying, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. And if you would just kindly hold it down just a little bit, if you're going to fellowship, just in to respect them so that they can minister to those that are here, okay? And we'll go ahead. And Pastor Terry, we meet our first-time visitors back at our gift table. We have a gift for you today. So please stop it and speak to Pastor Terry as you're going out. Amen? If you are, this is your first time visiting with us. Father, we thank you today, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you've done today. Thank you for the word, Father. God, that you have made a way for us, Lord. And God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are setting us free for the freedom that you come to give us, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you bless your people throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.